This show is not a financial advice. Bitcoin and shitcoins involve risk. Consult with a professional before investing. I have something to confess. This episode that we're going to air right now was supposed to be episode 3 after the Bitcoin furries. But due to some issues I had with the recording, I wasn't really sure if it's going to be a good episode, but after listening to it again later, I was sure that it could be useful for people to listen to hear hear information from an insider who actually works at a Bitcoin company. So I thought, it's better if I go for it and release this episode also. So this is it, episode 5, starting now.
Speaking.
How do you mean?
Verbs and like that. This podcast was age limited or something.
Any, you can speak any. This is uncensored. This is explicit. So, it everything is okay. Nice. Just within the reasons of Apple's, you know.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be here either.
Nice.
So you guys already heard about Chap. So I think we could just skip.
Oh yeah, sure.
But you can do it. Go on, Chip.
Yeah, thanks once again for inviting me to your podcast. Last time it was quite funny with the other furries, like with the Nuki and all the other guys. It was quite fun. I decided to join again. I'm PT Chap. I'm in Twitter since, I think, 2016. I was into Bitcoin approximately the same time around. And yeah, I came for the quick money and I stayed for the sound money, I would assume. Yeah, that's basically it in very short summary.
Oh, it's interesting.
How about you, Gary?
I'm Gary. I'm just not a random furry. I don't know why am I here, but like, yeah, just go on. I mined Bitcoin for a few years. I know multiple mining machines before. Then at this moment, I'm working for actually two companies with Bitcoin related stuff.
So this is actually your job?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
How much can you tell us about your job?
Anything that's publicly available and nothing internal confidential.
Okay.
I mean, we are basically mostly using cryptocurrency for payment, for ethical hackers and bug bounty in our softwares. And we are installing and setting up Bitcoin ATMs in Europe.
Okay. Yeah, last episode we have been talking about Bitcoin ATMs, and I think the conclusion was that they are quite expensive to use, the fees.
For example, we get a few models of the new Gerabytes ATMs. Those are cost a fortune if you are getting more and more gigabits, like Money Recycler, multiple money cassettes, and like stuff like that.
Okay.
A machine, and it's around 12,000 euro and something like that.
Yeah, I see all the time this posts in Twitter where people are like trying to force them open and tries to steal the bitcoins out of them, which is a big risk.
It's possible, but really hard. But
like forcing the machine
not stored in the ATM.
But it's funny anyways, you know, people trying to getting the bitcoins out, like shaking them or whatnot, like waiting for the coins to roll
like
out.
Like it's a physical coin just going to drop out magically.
Actually, one of our new colleagues, it's an assistant, she thinks coins are physical coins.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Who did the job interview?
Probably my manager.
Yeah, man. He's like, she's the one we need in our team. Yeah, but anyways, I mean, everybody was once like that, right? I mean, it's, yeah. So we're still early, and this is obviously the case.
I actually get a physical. There's things like the fake one ounce Bitcoin coins, and oh my god, I got a Bitcoin! Oh my god! And just
a
few years later, realized, oh, that's worth probably 1.5 euro.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many scams out there. It's like almost impossible to. Yeah, one should really make it.
Did you buy it on eBay at least?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Did you get a refund after that?
No, I'm actually getting as a gift. So.
Oh, okay. It's always nice to have like physical Bitcoin gifted, and then like kind of like weird when you figure out it's just fake one.
Yeah, I think there's also some sort of wallet or I don't remember it exactly, but I think they're giving you the Bitcoins and they write down the private key somehow.
Yeah, a few version of these coins existed with a QR code engraved with laser.
Yeah, and it's like, but we delete the private keys after we shipped it, and I was like, really?
Yeah, sure.
Who believes this kind of crap? I don't remember precisely which app it was, but yeah, but we don't have to go so far. I think the most epic thing that happened to a hardware wallet that is supposedly not a bad one was the Ledger fuck ups that we had, like three in a row.
It's like we're having a kill strike here on Ledger right now. It's like, I don't even know. Can we even trust Ledger anymore? Is it trustable? Or should we be looking for some different options? Maybe it's good for noobs, but not for really advanced people, probably.
Yeah. The problem is there is way more noobs than advanced people. And at the moment, I'm having a hard time like recommending the Cold Ward. A cold card to people that are not very much into Bitcoin. So I was always recommending the Ledger to noobs. But after that, how you call that? A clusterfuck, I would say. It's like really tough for me to continue recommending the Ledger. So yeah, like, first the heck.
Have you read like the disclosure of what this guy said?
I was only reading the. I got.
It was a guy called Monarch. That disclosed it, and he said that he's not even a security researcher, but he basically found this Ledger app isolation bypass exploit.
Yeah, I mean,
so that you were able to basically sign Bitcoin transactions on a Ledger Nano S and Nano X using that firmware version, and when you were in the Litecoin or Bitcoin Cash or any of these shitcoin wallets, you were able to, you know, create Bitcoin transactions using some malicious application or whatever else, and you were able to sign these on the Nano S and the X.
And people are still using those wallets.
And people are still using those wallets, yeah.
Oh my god.
I think you're not in troubles as long as you have the Bitcoin only setup running. I mean, if you don't have any shitcoin wallets installed, I assume you would be reasonably safe. But then again, why don't just take a Bitcoin only hardware wallet, right? Like the cold card.
I don't use any actually cold wallet or hardware wallet, something like that. I'm mostly keeping my coins on an exchange site. It sounds weird, but I do daily exchange, so every time when I do a trade, transfer my coin from exchange to the wallet and then back, I just keep my coins there.
It's like inviting a, you know, a boating accident.
Did you ever hear of Mt. Gox?
Yes.
Why do you do that, man?
I mean, I trust my exchange, so and I also have insurance on that.
If you have insurance, that's another thing. But like, there were so many exchanges where the people just took the money and ran for the hills, or even disappeared. I think there is a ton of possible. I mean, the incentives are really high for the operators of the exchange. I mean, you need only one employee that is like turning Breaking Bad, if you want. Then you have troubles, right? So yeah. I think it's always better to take care of your coins by yourself. But
I don't usually keep a really high amount on those exchange, only with a company account, but that's different from my personal.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you have to react fast, then it might be beneficial to like store your coins on the exchange, but only like I would not do that with large amounts because I frankly would not be able to sleep so well in the night.
Yeah, like here's this this derivatives trading platform. I'm gonna do a shameless plug here for lnmarkets.com. They actually do lightning trading on their platform. You can just send the coin onto the website and immediately start putting in DGEN 50x longs or shorts, whatever you want. And it kind of like much more faster that way than with you know, just sending on chain.
I'm not I'm not a trader, so I have no clue about trading. Actually, I'm just buying, to be honest. Super
stacking
super sad.
Sats every day.
I'm not really selling, really.
Buying and holding.
Yeah, yeah.
For a really long time, I did the same thing, but I just usually I make 10% more every month from my investments, and I don't know. For me, it's totally fine.
Well, then you are way above average, I would say.
I don't use leverage trade.
Okay, no, I mean 10% plus per month is like a staggering value. It's like really high. So
in yearly average, in some months I make a negative value, but sometimes my record is 18 or something percent in a single month.
Okay.
But in yearly average, it's around 10%. But I don't keep a really high amount on that platform.
But we are talking, we would be talking 120% a year.
No, I keep a fixed amount in my wallet in the trading platform. Whatever profit I made on that, I took the profit and keep that fixed amount for the next month.
Okay. So yeah.
But then logically, your Bitcoin amount keeps decreasing every month then?
Depends on the price.
I see.
Because I don't count my money in Bitcoin, I count in Euro. My Euro value going up, sometimes my Bitcoin amount going down or up, just depends on the price. For me, the base price is the Euro, not the Bitcoin.
So how do you view Bitcoin in this sense then?
At this moment?
Yeah, like generally, in your opinion. Like, what does Bitcoin mean to you overall?
That's a really interesting question. At the beginning, for me, it sounds really nice to have an anonymous currency. I can transfer coin whenever or anywhere where I want without anyone knowing it. That's actually really nice. Then I just realized, if some my coins used in some ways of bad things, and if I wanted to sell those coins in a public exchange and my wallet or any wallet, when my coins come from corrupted or I don't know the proper English word, the exchanges has right to stop my transaction and start legal actions. And I just realized this few weeks ago when we had issues in the company, those are confidence startup. But for me right now, it's an extra income at this moment.
So like,
so you have basically tinted coins that you cannot exchange anymore that be that are being frozen as soon as they hit the exchange.
For me, not. I'm trying to not say confidential information from my company, but I have experience with those coins.
Okay, I see. So they are somehow marked, and they would be
not marked. I mean, you can trace back the way of the coins.
Yeah.
Using chain analysis, basically.
Yeah. And for example, if somebody reports a stolen coin, and it's happening. The exchange.
Where do you do that? I thought always the CEO of Bitcoin thing is just a meme. But how could
you can, actually on the police you can file a report for stolen, and if it's happening in Bitcoin, the authorities have informed few of the exchange legally operating exchanges, and if the traces of that coins enter to one of the legal exchange where the exchange has right, know your client requirements, and those coins deposited into that, which come from that chain where the stealing happening.
I see.
That's cause
they will be frozen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just so that is in English at this moment.
So yeah, like, let me just steer the conversation a bit. How do you see the advancement of custodial solutions that is related to Bitcoin? Are they like a good development that now banks can hold Bitcoin also, for example, like in the US or?
I don't think the few banks ever accept Bitcoins because it's decentralized. There is a way to track the Bitcoin, but it's mostly anonymous. I don't think banks will like that. Some of the smaller bank application like Revolut or WePay or something like that can open a Bitcoin account and use your credit card. They are exchanging that. I don't think there is any future of that. For Bitcoin, it's probably staying up because the anonymous currency.
Yeah, I think I also read something about like the topic they were discussing that is would be able for anybody to deposit your Bitcoins to the bank. And then they would like store it for you safely, which I find a very smart thing to do somehow.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, why would I do that? but yeah, this is, I think the banks were thinking they're super innovative, when in fact, anybody who is sane would just simply never do that. Yeah. But, well, I mean, they're getting there slowly, and this is okay. I don't need all the banks to understand what Bitcoin is. That's not my goal. I think what is important that the people understand what Bitcoin is, not the banks.
By the way, funny inside information. Few of the larger banks can do trading with Bitcoin without publicly showing that.
You mean few or many?
I know a few
that are doing.
Not that many, but a few larger that's doing that.
I believe that immediately.
It's more confidential information, but I worked for a bank before a few years ago, and
okay,
that bank did that.
I assume they are doing a lot of OTC trading, so that it would not show up on any exchange or whatnot. But I assume there is a lot of trade going on, and also I think the really interesting times start once we are hitting the point where central banks are starting to look into the topic. Then the prisoner dilemma gets real, and the last ones jumping onto the train will be onto the cart will be really left behind, and that is epic FOMO.
Banks doing it, but I don't think it's ever publicly showed if some bank or bigger corporate using cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, I think once I don't know whether it was. Goldman or one of the large banks in the United States, they did something sort of not very smart. They bought some, I think, tracker certificate that resembled the Bitcoin price. And I am Nomad, the Twitter guy. I think his account is private by now. He made a screenshot because you can look up on the webpage of the company that offers that certificate. You can track who is ordering, and it was I think it was Goldman or Morgan Chase or something like that, and they were showing up there publicly on this webpage of this tracker certificate provider, and it was sort of hilarious that they were like revealing that they're buying Bitcoin, but that was like 2 or 3 years ago already. And I think they learned their share by doing that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, JP Morgan is actually providing banking services for things like Coinbase. And what else is there?
Yeah, they will not be able to ignore that. I mean, it's absolutely impossible. They have such a hard time making money at the moment with this low interest rates. And if the interest rates go to the negative, you should check out the German banks. They really have difficulty staying afloat, so they will have to take every stream of revenue they can obtain, and I assume that we will see a lot of this Bitcoin affiliation starting with the banks. Whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know. I would even rather trust the Ledger Nano S than a bank, but well, yeah.
Keep your coins safe.
On a Ledger Nano.
Just write it with a pencil, just throw a QR code and that's my wallet.
It's not a bad thing anyways. I think a paper wallet has its own charm. It's like, yeah, would be a cool option. Anyways, I would have to look into it. But
is there a safe way to generate them? Like right now, all those ways, like with the Ballet wallet, that piece of shit. That does all kinds of things.
That was the name, Ballet wallet. Yeah. Yeah, God. That was it.
I don't even know who had that idea, but they had these two versions of the Ballet where you have one where you can have the VIP 38 or 38 passphrase printed already onto the thing that is generated by the creators at Ballet, and then another version that is like the elite version that allows you to set the custom passphrase on it that gets awesome. Added onto it, but I'm not sure like how do you edit.
But how is it? I mean, the secret, the seed is the same, right? I mean,
the seed is the same. But it's awesome. Interesting. Like, if you adding your own passphrase, how do they engrave it on it? Do you have to submit it through email or something different?
I have no idea.
Sounds really safe.
Yeah. I would just like send them the coins, you know, like and tell them, hey, you know, store my coins. I mean, that's basically what you do. Yeah, you just send them the coins directly, and that's it. Because that's like.
It's almost the same thing.
They have either no clue or they're malicious. I mean, those are the two options. And since they know a few things about Bitcoin, I think really this is too shady to be a valid product. Yeah.
It's like the regulatory capture is starting to really ramp up these days. Like with the recent advisory that national banks in the US can custody crypto assets is also quite alarming to some people. Because some people claim that at least 80% of people would easily give up their custody over Bitcoin if they would be demanded by the state, which could easily end up with another 6102 executive order to, you know, to do confiscation of this private property in that sense.
Do you think?
I mean, think about this. If you have banks in the U.S. custodying crypto assets like Bitcoin, then you can basically have the government just easily tell the banks to give us the money immediately.
But I'm really not sure how all the plebs in Twitter, they would be storing their coins.
They probably
somehow.
Not, but you know, the majority of people are not on Twitter. So like the majority of users are like, you know, they just register onto an exchange because they want to make a profit. And then,
and then
banks probably going to start, you know, preventing people from withdrawing from those exchanges or bank accounts. And then, you know, it's just going to be stuck inside this intranet, this Bitcoin intranet, what I would call it, where you cannot move the Bitcoins anymore, where it's kind of like stuck there, where, you know, banks and governments could easily totally control the movement of Bitcoins.
It's true. Everything boils down to how the people are treating their coins and how they store them, right? I mean, that's the Trace Mayer before he became sort of special, this not your keys, not your coins, withdraw all the coins from any exchanges. So the 3rd of January, I think that was really a brilliant thing to do. That's something we cannot forget, and we should do next year again, because too many people are not keeping their own coins. They're just keeping them on like Coinbase or whatnot, and that's obviously not the perfect thing to have. I make sure whenever I talk about Bitcoin that I tell the people, really take care of your coins, because otherwise Bitcoin is basically useless. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, probably a bad example, but owning a gold certificate, what do you do with that? If the bank defaults, it's worthless, right?
And what do you think about, there is any chance ever in the future you can about paying Bitcoin in stores, like just like with cards? Do you see any chance in the future for that?
For a pool payment based system?
Yeah.
Could be possible. There's already 10x having operational debit cards that use the similar system where you can put the Bitcoin on their application and then you can use the debit card in order to deduct directly from Bitcoin.
No, I mean, you basically pay in Bitcoin directly.
I mean, I can use an app on my phone to do that. Why would I need a debit card for that?
I mean,
it totally invalidates everything that...
probably ever accepted in stores like that, just like paying with card, just paying with Bitcoin. Do you see any chance for, in the future, to happen this for happening?
Well, if we look at like how the world is currently going with advanced QE right now ramping up, with more money printing happening, and even now the US economy shrunk by 38.5% or something.
Yeah.
So like that's not a small number. I don't know how many, like 50 million people right now in the US are unemployed.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then people are constantly looking for safe haven assets, while the Federal Reserve keeps printing money and pumping it into risky assets like stocks, bonds, whatever else, the junk bonds. And then you kind of wonder, there's 50 million people already unemployed, but stocks keeps pumping.
Yeah.
So that's like, you have to like wonder, at what point will the dollar starts getting devalued when people realize that these prices are just artificially being pumped up?
I think everybody who understands Bitcoin would, and the people that buy Bitcoin sort of have an idea that it is a good store of value, would not spend Bitcoin. I don't see a lot of spending of Bitcoin unless it's having a really easy user experience, like with the 10x card. But me for myself, I would obviously always spend my fiats as long as they're worth something.
Yeah,
obviously, because I don't have tax issues. I don't have to exchange two times. I would always get rid of the paper. Simple. The question is whether the majority of the people thinks like that. I think the people that are into Bitcoin at the moment, they might understand it. But if we're having an epic bull run where the people are just having FOMO and don't understand anything about the asset that they're buying, might become a different issue. Yeah.
But it also depends on if you have your savings in Bitcoin, because after like being how many percentage of your wealth is in it, you will be, your avenues of getting, you know, money out of it gonna get, you know, kind of restricted. Because if you have an income, you can just spend that, have a fiat savings, or keep putting money into Bitcoin. And then if you put money into fiat savings, then you're gonna miss out basically on Bitcoin's price rise.
That's a very good question. Do Bitcoiners have fiat savings? I think this is not very like. I know a lot. There are a lot of people that are really going all in at the moment. Really,
I mean, I actually have Bitcoin savings, gold savings, and few stocks. So
yeah, but that's not a bad
for
thing.
Every scenario.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the gold, the stocks went up already, so that was good. I guess make sure you sell them before the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have a few AMD stocks. Those are going up really well, so maybe I should sell in the near future.
But yeah, this is also a good question. Where else can they go but up? Yeah, the Federal Reserve were like, they were printing in the last two, or I think in the last month or in the last 2 months, they were printing as much money than in the last two centuries.
I mean, since the coronavirus started, the US government started printing money as hell.
Yeah, we will have such an epic awakening as soon as that all unravels. It takes a while until this huge pile of money ripples through the economy, but as soon as that happens, people will be impressed how little they care. They will be able to buy with their dollar bills, and that is a problem that we don't only see in the United States. Frankly, everybody is printing themselves out of the corona crisis at the moment.
Yeah.
Whether it's necessary or not, I mean, that's another discussion. Obviously, they will always tell us that it is necessary, but anyhow, the consequences for a saver or for people that are not very wealthy, the consequences are very dire, I assume. That's why we see also this extreme pump up in the Cash App Bitcoin purchases. I think that those things went through the roof, right?
Even in Lebanon, people started buying Bitcoin and gold.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because their currency started, the Lebanese pound started going to shits.
Yeah, yeah. This is funny. The same thing we observed in Venezuela. As soon as it's a matter of life and death, whether you're able to afford, for instance, your dialysis or you're not, then having a hard currency at your disposal becomes really a matter of life and death. And in Lebanon, I think they're heading towards this Venezuela situation at the moment. Is really bad, and I think also Turkey is having troubles with inflation. Many countries, I think also
even the Turkish lira since 2000 started losing its value against the US dollar, so again, like, yeah, you see like the dramatic decline, just similarly like the Argentinian peso.
Yeah, exactly. Argentine also almost defaulted again, like for the eighth time or something like that. Like, oh, I don't know. It would be crazy if I would be an Argentinian. I would have my money in Bitcoin, definitely, and the same in Lebanon and Venezuela. But yeah, this is a horrible situation for the people living there. I hope they did wise decisions, because now it could be already too late to get your capital into Bitcoin.
You see any chance of the euro gets failing and inflating as well?
Yes,
I assume that can happen. Yeah, I think this is a race to the bottom that is happening at the moment, because the countries, every government wants to like depreciate or like decrease the value of their currency in order to be able to export, and export brings economic growth. So they are printing. This is like really a race who prints faster. And the ones that print faster will have a cheaper exchange rate. Therefore, they will be able to export easier. And this is something, a self-perpetuating, like an avalanche effect.
Prophecy.
Yeah. And you will not be able to do anything against that, because as soon as the United States start printing, the Chinese will start printing, then the European Union will be able to will be forced to print in order to sell German cars or French wine or whatnot. And this is a vicious circle that, yeah, the only way out would be really opting out of the complete fiat system. And that is basically buying Bitcoin or probably gold if you're Peter Schiff.
It's also interesting, like, how it's not, I looked at what the fuck happened in 1971, but it's very interesting that they never included in the graphs about the establishment of Social Security in the United States. Because, you know, like, even Social Security has some implications for money printing, because you need to keep up portion of the healthcare system with it. So, like, this basically just, it's like a whole system that is like a house of cards. At least here in Europe also, where governments need to keep printing money in order to fund their institutions, because we have a social welfare system here that we need in order to function here. Like free education, free university, free healthcare. Although it is quasi deducted from contributions, for example, here in Hungary that we pay from our taxes, but it's still quasi printed out. Because the amount of taxes we pay and the amount of taxes that arrive into healthcare doesn't really qualify it as you know, that thing is funding it.
I understand. But what I don't understand is, we had sound money in the past. We had the gold standard, and everything went smooth. Our British pound was coupled to the gold, backed by gold. The dollar was backed by gold. During all that times, the economy was working as well. So I don't know why we would need an inflationary currency in order to ensure the economy working. That's not true. We had 3,000 years of gold standard and everything was fine. I'm not buying this
3,000 what?
Yeah, I mean, the people were paying with gold since 3,000 years.
Oh, yeah.
And we never had the trouble that, like, we had to like create gold out of thin air in order to keep the economy afloat. That was never an issue. That is a issue since 1971. This issue was becoming, or this change of dogma was raining down upon us, which I don't understand. Really, I don't understand. I think this is not necessary. And I think the first person that started it, or the first country that started it, had a huge advantage over the other countries, because they were able to devalue their currency and export more. And as soon as the other countries started understanding that, this race to the bottom started, with all the negative consequences, like the poor getting more poor, the richer becoming more rich, and all the negative consequences that nobody is saving anymore, economy running hot, consumption over saving all the time. Probably I'm overlooking something, but I really don't understand why we should be printing all the time.
Probably like governments being too Orwellian, because probably this was the reason, like, they were seeking for a way how to gain total control over people. And in order to do that, they figured out that they need control over money in order to control people. Because even the printing of money was able to fund infinite warfare this way.
It's true.
Like, I mean, Austria also funded its war efforts during World War I by inflating its money. Even though they were on the gold standard back then, and the money went through a massive hyperinflation at that time.
Yeah, it's true. You finance war machinery and you, like, exploit the taxpayers and savers. It's true. Yeah, I never looked at it like that. It's a valid strategy if you're looking from the perspective of an Orwellian government. If you're looking from the perspective of a citizen, is of course a super bad move. Yeah.
And then here comes the case with the digitalization of money. Like, even in China, there are applications like WeChat or whatever else that allows you to pay with just using your face or your mobile phone, and then the money immediately arrives from A to B. And then, you know, this gives government such immense power over controlling people that this is probably the most logical next step for governments to implement. Because by removing paper money, they are completely in control of the system. And anybody else would try to do something different, they will have some serious difficulties being able to function.
Yeah, and the most funny thing is, if you enforce a completely digital currency, like a digital blockchain-based currency like China is developing at the moment, you take all the positive aspects of Bitcoin and turn them 180 degree into like a threat. Like, you can freeze funds whenever you want. It is completely centralized. You can monitor any transaction. You can enforce whatever kind of inflation you want. And the most funny thing is, you can even enforce negative interest rates onto the people. Because
just a version of fiat money, basically.
Yeah, it's like the super bad Orwellian version of fiat money. And if it's coupled to your face, then it's even worse. I mean, this is a privacy nightmare. And negative interest rates, funny, best thing ever for Bitcoiners, because as soon as you have negative interest rates, the reasonable price for any scarce or for any scarce good becomes infinite. I can just take out a loan. I will get paid to take out a loan, and will be able to buy whatever, houses, Bitcoins, gold, Swiss watches, or whatnot, with that money, and that will drive the prices of hard assets through the roof. If we will ever see negative interest rates in the United States or in China, this is going to be epic for the Bitcoin price.
Probably. More than likely. That's what Bitcoin Tina keeps saying, that the floodgate is going to open and people are going to be rushing like crazy. Like, buy Bitcoin, more.
Yeah, but we are there already. I mean, look at the Cash App Bitcoin purchases. This is crazy. We are there already. The floodgates are already opening. I see that happening.
I should have Googled that.
I think it was in Twitter. It was all over Twitter.
Payment firm Square reports $875 million in Bitcoin for revenue via Cash App during quarter 2 2020.
Yeah, it was funny because they were even calculating that basically all the freshly mined Bitcoins are directly being consumed by people buying Bitcoins via the Cash App. So the supply shock will be epic as soon as really institutional investors jump on this card. It's going to be interesting, because where do they want to get their Bitcoins from? If there's like millions of hodlers holding small amounts, they have to drive up the price significantly in order to acquire large amounts of Bitcoin.
But isn't Grayscale already doing that? They're buying 10-15% of Bitcoin daily that is mined. Or was it even more? Because it looks like it's they're buying a lot more than that's being mined.
Grayscale, I don't know. I mean, yeah, at least if Grayscale is taking out the 15% and we have the rest from Cash App, then I think we are like talking about a significant amount. I don't know whether they are buying the complete amount that is being mined, but we are talking about a large fraction at least. I don't know the precise numbers, to be honest. And who is the stool president, by the way? He wanted to buy all the bitcoins.
Oh, the Twitter guy who was doing all kinds of live trading, you mean?
Yeah.
Some random trading guy who said that he wants the Winklevoss brothers to go and teach him how to use Bitcoin.
And then he said he was gonna buy all bitcoins, and I expect that to be very difficult because the price is defined by supply and demand, and supply is very limited at the moment. So if he drives up the demand, price will go through the roof. It's a stupid thought experiment somehow. The guy is a trader. He should know market mechanics anyways. But I think the thing was that he's like has like many, 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 many followers. 1.7 million followers. So I think that was the talk about, the big fuss about. Didn't he even meet with Donald Trump? I think he was even meeting with Donald Trump.
Gary, how do you see things like decentralized exchanges? Could they pose a threat in any way to like services and institutions they want to custody or trade Bitcoin?
I think decentralized trades basically the perfect place to wash money, in my opinion. I don't really think institutes will use those, probably those people who wanted to be completely anonymous.
But is this good anyway or bad?
In some way these are good, but in general use I don't think. Or is something happening with a decentralized trade, where do you go for help or anything like that?
Like for example on Biz there are arbitrators who watch over these transactions and able to decide over what happens with these funds.
I don't think lots of people will do. Probably lots of people doing that, but I don't think that's the best option to do.
I think it would be a very beneficial thing to have, because what do you do with tainted coins, right?
Yeah.
If you need a like.
Are there even tainted coins?
That's a good question, right? That's a good question.
What do we count as tainted coins?
Does it even ever exit the system that it can become tainted, or just there is a perception of taintedness that is.
If those coins go through a decentralized trading platform, from that platform, if the exchange tracing back was the way of the money, they can't do anything because it's already changed owner without knowing who or where that money changed. So I think decentralized exchange is basically a money washing way, in my opinion.
That's quite damning opinion coming from a guy working for a Bitcoin related business.
Yeah. I don't really know what should I say.
Okay,
I guess I think we finished.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for coming. I really enjoyed your company.
Was my pleasure.
Thank you for the chance.
Once again, it was fun.
So that was all for today, after releasing the second episode today of the day. But I guess I'm not going to be releasing anymore for a while now. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And I guess it probably served with some really interesting insight and insider world of, you know, these Bitcoin companies and how people kind of, how would I say, normies kind of relate to our little world of Bitcoin. So yeah, thanks for listening and see you guys next time.